Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Hello, Tycoons, and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I'm your host here, as always, Austin Peterson, and I'm joined by my co-host, Landon Mance, the ever dapper, ever hair-filled Landon Mance. Welcome in, buddy.
Good morning. Morning, brother.
You may sense the extra excitement in my voice today. It's the beginning of college football season. We're nearing the playoffs for baseball. It's, in my estimation, the best time of the year.
I would mostly agree with that. I was a big NFL guy for a long, long time. And then I had twins, right? You know, we refer to, you know, Landon pre-twins and Landon post-twins a lot. So Landon pre-twins was a big NFL guy. Landon post-twins, not so much. But I'm back playing fantasy football this year, which in turn pushes me to be an NFL guy again, because I gotta watch my guys compete on, you know, what is it now? I gotta watch them compete on the occasional, well, Monday, Thursday, occasional Friday, Saturday, and then Sundays. So yeah, anyway, I'm excited. It is definitely a good time of year. The best time of the year in Las Vegas for sure, because it's just finally starting to cool down a bit, even though it was like 105 yesterday, but next week supposed to be in the 90s, and then it'll start to taper off from there. And then October, November, even December, I mean, they're pretty special out here.
Let's kind of jump into this and talk about what we're going to talk about today. So, you know, today's topic is growth through others. And I think that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I'll let you kind of throw out some topics here in just a second. The first one that comes to mind for me is networking. Part of the reason that that's top of mind is the fact that I wrote a blog post a little while ago for our newsletter and for our blog, our website, our social media, et cetera, talking about networking and talking about how having the right approach in networking is key, right? It's not about showing up and finding out, you know, who in this room can become a client or who in this room can introduce me to people who can become clients. If you show up with a different mindset about how can I help the people in this room, your outcome will be much different from a networking standpoint.
No doubt about it. And, you know, I used to be big into networking, you know, when I started my practice back in 2015 and, you know, had a small book of business that followed me over from the bank. And I think what you just alluded to is the most important thing in networking. And the other part of that is what you kind of mentioned, but it's just the showing up part. And, you know, my business partner in Nevada Tree Service, he didn't come from the world of SMB. You know, he came from working for mega corporations. He worked for Discover, and then he worked for another 1,000+, you know, employee firm for pretty much all of his career. And one of the things I was kind of coaching him on a bit, you know, if you will, was like just consistently showing up. So he joined a BNI group. And I said, look, I've been in those groups before and I was not successful. But let me tell you about the people that I've known for a very long time that are really successful in those groups. And it's the person that shows up every week, and they've been doing so for years and years and years and years. And there are people that literally build their entire businesses off of joining some kind of a business networking group. And they do it because they show up and they look for opportunities to help the other people in their group.
Yeah, I think that's really the key, right? It's obviously it's consistency, like you mentioned. But the other thing that you mentioned without really keying in on it is you've got to show up and you've got to bring value, right? So it's, you know, like I said earlier, it's about serving others, but it's also about bringing value to the group. There's something that you're doing, and it may not have anything to do with what you do professionally, but you're bringing some sort of value to the group, whether it's just uplifting and giving encouragement to people who are struggling in their business, or it's helping them to understand why having their financials in order is important, or introducing them to somebody who's a really good bookkeeper that can help them with that. It's really about bringing value in some way, shape, or form every time you have an opportunity to interact with another business owner.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That was kind of one of the bullet points that I thought we'd touch on today, which is like co-creating value, right? Now, that can be done in the way that you mentioned, and it can also be done in like a direct, I'll just call it like a partnership or like a collaboration, right? For example, in Nevada Tree Service, we have been focused on building some relationships with landscapers that do not do tree work, right? Because we do tree work. That's it. We don't do landscaping. We don't do irrigation. You know, we don't do any of that stuff. So finding landscaping companies that just do landscaping, which does not involve tree work. It might involve really light, you know, pruning of smaller trees or removing like real small bushes or trees that, you know, essentially anybody can do. But when it comes to the real tree work, most landscaping companies do not touch the work that we do. So we have an opportunity to co-create value, right? So we can sit down with those companies, have a conversation about what their values are, what kind of work they do, what does a great customer look like for them, and really understand what drives their business forward, and then be able to look for opportunities to plug them in when we are interacting with our customers, because there's no competition there, right? And so there's an opportunity to co-create value because we can bring the right customers to them. And in turn, they can bring the right customers to us. And then it's a, you know, it's a successful collaboration.
Yeah. I mean, I would just add to that we do, you know, similar things in our wealth management practice, right? Whether it's working with CPAs, that every business owner needs a high quality CPA, or it's an attorney or estate planning attorney or a bookkeeper, or a group benefits provider, you know, the types of people who are really part of the ecosystem of providing services and products to business owners that they really, really need. And being able to know that you can trust and that you've got somebody who's a high quality provider of that to a business owner that you can rely on. And then in reverse, they know that they can rely on you. And so they're making introductions to their clients. You're making introductions to your clients. It ends up being a win-win-win for everybody.
Yeah, no doubt. It just kind of, it got me thinking about how that, obviously you and I have been partners for a number of years, but before we were partners, we both kind of ran our own kind of siloed individual businesses. But now we just have one firm. But it makes me think back to like a lot of my earlier years. And that was always a really big struggle for me, was the reciprocity part of trying to help others, because you go into it with this mindset of like, I'm going to refer people to other people's businesses, other business owners that I know, like, and trust. I want to refer people to them to help them grow their business. And in turn, they should reciprocate, right? They'll do the same. And it happens, right? It definitely happens. And it takes time. But a lot of times that mindset is not going to get you to the place that you probably think that you should be. And I struggled with that a lot earlier in my career, which was giving with the expectation of receiving. And I think that's just the wrong mindset, because most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, I think you're going to be let down when you approach relationships with that mindset.
Yeah. I think if you go in with the mindset of keeping score, right. And just think about like keeping a tally in a book in your office, right? Like I gave 3 referrals to this particular firm and they've only given me 1 or they've given me none. And so then you stop referring to that company. And what you may not realize is that 6 months later, you may have received a fantastic referral that's worth all 4 of the referrals or 3 referrals that you'd sent to them in the past. And so it's literally not about one-to-one and that reciprocity that you're talking about. It's about helping others, focus on what you can do to help others build their businesses, and it will come back around for sure.
It makes me kind of think about like this kind of comprehensive idea of like supporting the ecosystem, right? And so when you're plugged into an ecosystem, whether you're a painter, you know, you're a financial advisor, you're a landscaper, you're a general contractor, you're in the travel business, it doesn't matter. But like every one of us is plugged into our little ecosystem, right? We've got customers, suppliers, vendors, partners, whatever relationships that I may be missing, but we're all part of our little ecosystem, right? And as you look for opportunities to support that ecosystem, I think you said it well, it kind of circulates and it eventually, like that current will come back to lift your boat as well, you know, as they say.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that because here's the thing. Most of us are part of a bunch of different ecosystems. You and I in our wealth management practice are a part of a particular ecosystem in the financial services arena, right? But we're also part of the overall small business ecosystem, right? Nationwide or worldwide, really. But then we're part of the ecosystem of small business owners in our area. So there's all these different ecosystems. And the reality is we should be engaged in all of them and understand that there are major benefits. And, you know, I would use the term personally, blessings in our lives that come from being part of those ecosystems. And so we should be looking at ways that we can give back to that ecosystem or all of those ecosystems without expecting anything in return, right? And I'll give you an example. So I'm part of the Financial Planning Association. And in the next couple of days, it's going to be announced that I'll be part of the upcoming board of directors for the Financial Planning Association of Arizona, starting in January of 2025, right? So I went to this meeting last week, and we were basically doing some strategic planning for the board and putting them on, you know, this 10-year plan as time goes forward and what they're going to accomplish as a board. And that'll go far beyond, you know, my participation in the board. But one thing that came out of the conversation is that people who joined the board for themselves, right, because they want to be able to put on their LinkedIn that they're a member of the board, or they want to put on their resume that they're a member of the board as a way to push forward their career, don't end up being much of a benefit to the board because they're not there for the board and for the Financial Planning Association or for the financial planning profession, you know, in the state of Arizona. They're there for themselves. And it's seen, it's felt, you see it in their productivity, and it just makes a huge difference. And so it's a really hard thing to do sometimes because we are in it for ourselves to a certain extent in kind of everything that we do. But if you'll work on changing that mindset to I'm here to serve the greater good, the ecosystem, the industry, the profession, the whatever it is, you'll see that the outcome is better for that ecosystem overall. And then in turn will be better for you.
You know, and just to be clear, you know, when you approach those types of situations, you know, it's okay to have some selfish motivations. But if that's all that you have, that's generally not going to lead to very good outcome. You've got to put effort in to kind of invest, I don't know, investing like in the social capital kind of. And that can be done through what you're doing, which is like investing your time and your efforts into being a member of the board. I don't think you get paid for that position, right? Yeah. So, you know, there's no monetary gain in that position for you, but your approach and the mindset that you have going into it, you know, I can speak to that because I know you better than most people. And I know what your motivations are, and I know what your intentions are, and I know that they are pure and they are coming from a place of collaboration and coming from a place of being willing to invest your social capital into this so that the greater good can kind of benefit. Again, are there some selfish motivations there? Like, could there be some benefits to our firm? Sure, there absolutely could be. If they're not, that's also okay, because that's not the intent with your commitment to that particular organization.
No, you're right. I mean, there's probably some good that will come out of it at some point, but it's got to be about the proper motivation, or at least having that be your primary motivation, I guess, is the best way to put it. Another thing I think you're going to hit on this is mentorship, right? Well, mentorship, you'd be pretty hard pressed to find a way that mentoring somebody, specifically somebody who's younger in the business or younger in your profession, that's ever going to have any benefit for you or for your firm, right? Is it somebody, if it's somebody inside of your firm, potentially, right? But if you look at it and say, gosh, you know, so a couple of weeks ago, I had an outreach from somebody that I know through some personal connections of mine that asked if we could have lunch and just kind of talk through what his career might look like, where he is, what he's thinking, what's going on in his life. And he does happen to be in our profession, and he's very young, trying to figure out, you know, what that means. Graduated from college in May and just trying to figure that out. I went and had lunch with him. I paid for lunch. I spent an hour of my time with him just kind of laying out the different directions that he could go and helping him to understand who he is as a person and what that kind of lends to, and talked about how the profession for us has changed significantly. I mean, when I started in this business 25 years ago, it was make a list of the people that you know and start making phone calls and seeing who will meet with you. And then from there, ask for referrals to try to expand and grow your business there. That still exists. In my mind, maybe shouldn't exist. That's kind of a really old school way of doing things. But there are a lot of different ways that you can participate in this profession and find joy in the things that you do. And, you know, this particular individual does not find joy in trying to build from scratch and meeting people and starting with the list of people and doing all of the networking stuff, right? Like, for those who don't know this, Landon can walk into a room and talk to anybody and loves doing it. We'll talk to anybody at the elevator. We'll talk to anybody at the rental car counter. Doesn't matter. That's not me. I don't do that. I don't enjoy it. If a conversation starts, I'm great having a conversation with somebody, but I'm not the one who walks into a room and goes, I'm going to go walk over and insert myself in this group. Landon's comfortable there, right? This person that I met with last week is not. And so I just helped him understand that that's okay. And there are a lot of other ways to be involved in this profession. What do you enjoy doing? That's likely not going to ever come back to me, but because it's important to him and I care about the profession overall and I want good quality people in the profession overall, whether or not they're great salespeople, that was worth it to me.
Yeah, I think, gosh, mentorship and just knowledge sharing with somebody that is in a spot where they aspire to be where you are is just an invaluable way of spending, you know, some of your time, right? And just to be clear, when I say aspiring to be where somebody else is, that is not necessarily monetarily. That is not from a how successful that you believe them to be. It could have absolutely nothing to do with that at all. It could be somebody that you want to align with from a value standpoint, right? Somebody that has built a business that their primary focus has not been on the business per se, but they have built a successful business, but their primary focus has been on building their relationships with their children and maybe their significant other. Oh, and also building a really successful business on the side. Or it might be something different than that. It might be, well, gosh, I'm a young, single 23-year-old person. I'm not married. I don't have kids. Like, I want to connect with somebody that is 15 years ahead of me, that's built a really successful thing in the industry that I'm in. And that's somebody that I'm really going to relate to. Like, that's fine. But like, it doesn't have to necessarily be about, you know, the financial and the monetary aspects of where somebody has gotten. It can be about other things that are important to you. And I would just add, just kind of, I'll close with this and kick it back to you to close out the episode. But the mentor-mentee relationship, like, it is absolutely and has to be like a two-way street. And somebody that's getting mentored would say, well, how am I going to provide any value to somebody that's been doing what I'm trying to do, but they're 10, 15, 20 plus years ahead of me? And what I would say to that is, sometimes the value that a mentee can bring to a relationship is simply by asking questions, right? Asking somebody like, gosh, hey, like, you've been so successful. Like, what did you do in your first 5 years of business that like catapulted you into where you are today? And like, a question like that can really get somebody thinking like, oh gosh, it's been so long. Like, let me rack my brain. Yeah. Like, I did this, this, and that. And then you start to formulate these thoughts around, gosh, like, that worked so well for me 15 years ago. Why don't I do that anymore? You know, I mean, like, there is value in just asking somebody questions that get their mind thinking back 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, because you probably haven't thought about that stuff, you know, in a long time. So I'm sure there's other examples of how a mentee can be valuable in a relationship, but that one just kind of came to mind. So I'll kind of kick it back to you. We're kind of at time now and you can shut this thing down.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I think, you know, you're right. It does have to be a two-way street. I do still believe that you should go into any relationship like that as, you know, I'm here to give 100% of myself, right? I mean, I learned a long time ago from a personal or a marital relationship that it's not a 50-50 partnership, right? It has to be 100-100. Each side needs to be giving 100% for it to work the best. And so you have to go in not expecting anything, but you're entering into this relationship with somebody who's also going to give 100% of themselves in any way that they can. So it will end up being an equal relationship, but it shouldn't be, again, like you said, that reciprocity where you can keep a tally of what you've gotten out of that relationship. So I think that that's, you know, that's a great concept. It reminds me, and we don't have time for the whole story, but it reminds me of when I got in the business. I met with somebody that I really liked, respected, was in our profession. And so I asked him for some time to kind of go, you know, spend some time with him and just learn about his practice and what he could do, or, you know, what he would recommend to me. And unfortunately, he had kind of taken over his dad's practice. And what I was looking for was, how did you start? How did you build your practice? How did you do this? And I didn't get anything out of that. But as I look back now, I approached him because I knew who he was as a person. Mm. I knew the family that he had, the way that he raised his family, his commitment to his family, his commitment to his country, his commitment to his religion, his values, his morals. That's why I reached out to that person as opposed to many other people that I could have reached out to from a professional standpoint. And so, you know, it isn't always just about, like you mentioned earlier, about the success that they've derived in their specific business. So, mm-hmm. You know, the biggest message we can convey to you today is go out, give back your ecosystem, your profession, your industry, small business at large. It's a really important ecosystem that we're pushing forward here. It truly is the backbone of the American economy. We're part of it. We're benefiting from it, but we also are providing benefit to many, many other people in this country. And we believe in it. We stand up for it. That's why we put this out. And we're glad that you guys are here and able to listen to it today.
Yeah. And please, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our podcast. You know, we really put a lot of effort into putting a lot of great content out. Shout out to our marketing manager, Rachel. She's doing a great job with our newsletter, our blog, our email campaigns, our podcast. So we sure would appreciate any support from anybody that's listening. So to your success.
Listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guest, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests, have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.